Welcome to the latest episode of Easy with Francesi. It's been an interesting few weeks. I've had a cold, but I'm back. I managed to keep training, but we'll hear about that later. Our deep dive training talk today is going to be on single versus double training days. And yeah, we will have a nice little chat about that later on. But before we start, Richard, I welcome Richard from Nashville. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks, Damon. Yeah.
You've had a few late nights, I've heard
Oh,
rumors.
yeah. For my aging body, anything past 1 a.m. is, might as well be a catastrophe. So.
Yeah, it's late. It is late. I go to bed at 10 latest. So one is like, oof, it's another day. It's oof. Anyway, do you want to tell us what you've been up to for the last fortnight?
Yeah, well,
What's
I
been
spent
going on?
about one third of it actually being ill as well. I had a cold. So this past week, about 4 days, I wasn't ill the whole time, but I was tired for some reason. So I did not exercise for a few days this past week. But good news is yesterday was my first day of real proper training back. Well, I say took training, proper exercise. So I went to the gym. Generally, the last couple of weeks since we spoke, I've been doing a lot of work in the gym, just lifting some weights, doing some exercises for running. So probably about of those last 14 days, yeah, four of them were lost. And then of the 10 remaining, there are 5 days I did a gym session, and then the other days were either a walk or a bike ride. Anything from a 40-minute ride, or I went for a couple-hour hike. I may have done that the last time we spoke, just before. But so aside from being ill, I've probably got 3 out of 4 days I've done some meaningful exercise, and now I feel good. I'm gonna after this call, I'm gonna go for a session in the gym and a bike ride because it's still early morning for me. So it's been generally good.
And you reckon you're over the cold now?
Yeah,
You've recovered yet?
Yesterday I was at the gym for a solid hour doing some pretty heavy weights and didn't notice any interest, any concentration lacking or anything like that. It was pretty good.
What's your rule on training with a cold?
Oh man, what is my rule? Well, the first thing that really hits on me is the lungs. So if my heart rate's just going skyrocketing, I just don't do anything. I maybe go for a walk, but there have been too many times when I was training a lot where just going for an easy run where my heart rate goes over 120 pushed me back, and it's frustrating. So at the moment, I haven't got the same sort of impetus to push through or to keep fit in some way. So I just let it take its course, man. Walking, being outside if I can be. So I haven't been ill for so long, I kind of forget what I even did. I mean, it's very different when you're training a lot because the immune system is always low on a Sunday after a long run or after a session in the week. So especially after a race. Now I have an immune system, so I
Yeah,
just go
true.
to bed and I feel better in the morning.
It's funny. So you feel like it's good that you're back on it. I actually had a cold as well, and I was in this kind of trying to decide what to do. It got to a stage where it's quite a bad headache as well, very, very congested. So I did do a run on one of the days, but I purposely kept the heart rate down. I didn't feel much better the next day, so I just took the day off. And I've always heard the above the neck rule. So generally speaking, it was all just congestion. There was no phlegm. I wasn't coughing. So I just decided the next couple of days I'd just keep 30-minute runs, just keep the heart rate down. So I do take my heart rate in the morning to see whether there's a noticeable jump. It was a little bit higher for a few days, and then it dropped. And it dropped yesterday, sorry, Friday, and I knew that then it was kind of on its way out. But I've got the complications of asthma, which I know you have as well, and that I worry because I know it can go to the chest very quickly, but I took my peak flow and that was normal. So there was no issues with lung flow. So I thought as long as I don't do any, I'm not really doing sessions anyway. Yeah, so but we go back the week before. For some reason, I can't actually remember. I had 2 days off that week, but I still managed 5 runs in the week, which is kind of the, no, I did 4 runs actually. I don't know why I only did four. It was quite a busy week. I think I just things got in the way. So, but I was in the gym twice, which is good, which I've tried to prioritize. So that was good. Kept strong. This week was kind of a bit more back to my running routine, but I decided not to do any cross training until today, just to focus on the running, not to overload the system as I wasn't well. And yeah, that seems to work well. Again, I was in the gym 3 times, so that's quite manageable when you've got a cold. It's not, you know, you're not work. It's not prolonged intensity. It's just you know what the gym's like. It's kind of just intense for a few seconds or a few minutes. But yeah, I'm glad the Achilles seems to be good. I'm not running much, just under 200 minutes this week, which is, I don't know, it's about 25 miles or something. But I did a little bit of plyometrics as well, so there's not been a reaction to that, which is good. And then yeah, I'm just gonna keep building now. I think it's going in the right way, right direction. This week I've got my school holidays, so I can probably get back to proper routine, do some cross training, rest a bit more. Yeah, so looking good towards a potential cross country race in January, which would be the target.
Very good.
Super. Okay. Right, we're going to go on to our deep dive training talk, and this is going to be on single days versus double days. So that'd be running. It doesn't have to be running, but we could kind of interpret it as you wish. But we're going to focus on running. Richard, what do you think? What are your first thoughts on that?
What are my first thoughts? I think double daying logistically is a lot more difficult than single day. I mean, that's for me probably the biggest, personally the biggest thing. I've seen athletes be absolutely fine doing it because they were more organized than I ever was. I think I really like double daying as a strategy to recover well from sessions, to never really, or to avoid going into the the depths of fatigue in any given week. I certainly think that doing something in the morning and the evening or afternoon that is serving a different purpose is important for double daying because otherwise it's very monotonous. I've done both for long periods. I've coached athletes who've done both as well for reasonably long periods. It's there's certainly a natural transition. And I would add that, I think if you really, honestly, if you really want to run fast, you've got to be double daying all the time. Even if it's something as simple as, a 45-minute run in the morning and a gym session in the evening, or, 2 recovery runs, or an easy run and a steady run, or running easy every morning and doing your harder training in the evening when the body's woken up, be it a session or some gym work. It's just logistically difficult, but I think it's a necessary progression of training at a certain, performance level, which could happen very early. I do remember being a junior and I only raced, I'd only trained once a day at that point, so 18, 19 years old. But when I came across athletes, my peers who were, faster than me, really, they would train twice a day all the time. It was an incredible amount of work. And, it showed in, consistency of performance and maybe not ultimate, like high-end performance, but it certainly had an impact. Anyway, those are my initial thoughts.
Yeah, I think yeah, you've covered quite a lot there, Rich. I would say, yeah, like lifestyle does come into it, and individual preference. Kind of those are the two main things that Yeah, the athlete wants to do it, and they feel it suits their lifestyle better as well. That those are kind of two of the main reasons why you would do that. I mean, if I use myself as an example, often I'm starting at in the winter 8, finish at 4, and the looking at that, yeah, there's enough time to train, but often just really fatigued at the end of the day. So and it's very dark here, so. The way I find to motivate myself to get up and do something is to run into work, and that would just be an easy run, and then use the afternoon run as you suggested there, either a session or a quality run, and not every day, but those would be select days, and I found that works quite well. But other athletes I've coached, they find it, yeah, they either haven't got the commitment or they just find it quite mentally demanding to go out twice a day. They prefer to just do the run in the morning or in the evening, whenever it is, just and have it as that one time they train. Yeah, the points you make about if you are a serious athlete training for a competition, you do have to do a double day of some sort, and that doesn't necessarily have to be running. It could be, as you said, gym, some sort of gym or mobility work in the evening or the morning, supplemented by a run. But then looking at trying to, say, if you're trying to fit in whatever it is, X amount of hours of running, and you want to do more than an hour a day, you're going to have to get up. If you're working, you're going to have to get up really early to get that hour or so done, to be able to, if you're not just getting out of bed and running. And like for me, I need some time to wake up. So you're looking at up being, being up 2 hours before you're due to start work. So that's quite a big commitment. But if it's just half an hour, then anything, do half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the evening. It's a great way of fitting in running. Richard.
Yeah, I'd add as well that it depends on what the purpose of the training is. So I think about it in terms of, yeah, you've got two time periods where you do exercise. One of them in my mind would be training. The other one is, some kind of supplementary or movement. So if it's a 1 hour steady run, that's very different to a half an hour recovery run. So in terms of like the bar psychologically of training versus every single morning, part of my routine is waking up and doing a 30-minute recovery run and then getting a shower and blah 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 blah. Then it's really only 35, 40 minutes more extra actual time. I don't want to undermine or not, I don't want to dismiss the fact that one's body can be in, not pain, but you're carrying niggles all the time. It's my life as a non-competitive athlete now versus, being 22, 23. Ironically, with many more aches and pains, you kind of tolerate a lot. But yeah, if it's framed as something that is not, I don't want to say a training, but almost like a commute, as you say, when you run to work, then it's, I think it's a more achievable goal.
Yeah, I think you're right there. That we do need to differentiate between training and, yeah, kind of recovery or just how do you put? Yeah, I think that if the heart rate isn't going above a certain level, so whatever, it's probably going to be 150, then you'd deem that as a supplementary conditioning. But in terms of a training session, if you want to do some sort of quality, and let's define this as say something faster than half marathon slash tempo sort of efforts.
Okay.
So something faster than that. If you're a marathon runner, it'd be marathon efforts. But just say that sort of work, I think, is very hard to do first thing in the morning, and there's a higher risk to doing that first thing in the morning. So I think yes.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm saying now. I think that I've seen athletes successfully do their hard sessions at 30 in the morning. It, number one, it takes a lot of discipline. Number, no, not everybody likes to go to bed at 9 o'clock in the evening
It's
and lie
but
there.
it's leaving the time to get up, I think, is the key thing there. And it's whether you have that time.
And also that, yeah, that too. And also on appreciating really that the sessions are not going to be as fast, not going to feel the same as something at 6 p.m. And kind of coming to terms with that. There's a certain maturity that needs to exist, I think, to do that and say, right, this is still the most effective use of my time as an athlete.
No, yeah. So I think, yeah. So as you kind of, it's leaving that time to be able to be awake and then get that run done, it's not always achievable for everyone. So it's really down to time, how committed you are, lifestyle. The one thing I would say is that for my own experience with doing double days, and when I've kind of implemented into athletes I've coached who haven't previously done it. Well, when I first started doing doubles, it was absolutely revolutionary for me. Like I felt, you know, going from doing a 60-minute run to doing 2:30 or 2:40-minute runs. The 2:40-minute runs does not feel the same as a 60-minute run. Like you as long as yeah, there weren't, you know, I didn't know, if it was the morning, it would be slightly, you know, just kind of a more of a recovery or an easier run, and then that the evening session would be a steadier run or even a lighter session. The actual quality of the running, the way that I felt, the quality of the movement, the cadence, that was all so much better. I felt like I was getting, not running that much more, but the quality of the running was far, far better than spending 20, you know, 15, 20 minutes waking up and then getting through a 60-minute run. And sometimes, of course, it is good and it works. But I think for me, when I played around with it, not necessarily doing double days all the time, when I've introduced it into athletes' programs, playing around with that, doing one run and then some double days, that change of stimulus was just really, really, it did help a lot in terms of getting overall volume, but also the quality.
Yeah, no, I've seen it too personally and felt it as well. You know, I'm a big believer in, if you do double day with easy runs, so not a session, or steady runs, continuous runs, you know, one of them is recovery or easy, one of them is as you feel, which often turns into a steady run. And I think it builds a lot of confidence sometimes to see that, oh, I can feel pretty tired on the morning of Wednesday, but in the afternoon, evening, I'm going to have a really good run. So I think there's a lot to learn about from athletes about how their body behaves.
And so what one thing that I also introduced later on, again, it's if you haven't done it, it does feel like a new thing, is that I started to do shorter runs the day before a harder session. So again, session we'd say is something faster than sort of tempo half marathon effort. That even before race, I've done that as well, but just a very short 15, 20-minute run. And then, so that'll be a full 12 hours probably between that run and the session or the race, has on the whole had positive effect. But again, once you get used to it, it does have a good effect.
There's one thing I realized about double day that I think is advantageous for competition, and you know, in the short term, it's that, you know, if you're used to doing a Monday double day, a Tuesday double day with a session, Wednesday double day, Thursday, and maybe you do a single day on a Friday, when it comes to a big race, you just knock one of them out, and all of a sudden you've got your taper psychologically. Obviously, you have to balance somebody's efforts so they don't go run 5:30s for their easy run in the morning. But I think it's a very natural way to sort of say, right, we're going to cut down and, you know, use that structure to help us taper effectively.
That's a great point. Yeah, because that you can use it so many ways. So even when I was said about that, doing that run before a race, that say the run is normally 30 minutes, it could just be 10, 15 minutes, you know, or you just completely remove it. As you said, yeah, you just go from 1 week where you're doing doubles, and the next week you just remove one or two doubles. And as you said, you automatically feel fresher. You feel, oh, yeah, you know, you feel like you've got your energy back. And that's a really good point, that.
I've got one other kind of left field comment about it. I don't say it's not a reason to do double daying, but it's something I've seen as being a valuable thing. During COVID, when there was no racing and people got ill or people got injured with no racing, I found that those who had a bit more, or who had a good grasp of double daying, out walking twice a day. That level of structure in one's life and doing it effectively as an athlete, I think in times when, say, you're injured or when you know, things change, I think it really helps, like psychologically, to say, right, okay, like my morning includes now this walk versus the run, or the afternoon it just includes a gym session, or, you know, another walk. So not to say that this is again, a reason to double day, but I think it speaks to, I think, the level of discipline that I think it helps with. That is a ramble. That is a off the beaten track.
But this come down to how modern life is now, and that the number of people working sedentary jobs, the number of people who don't move, and that basic fundamental fitness, that basic movement, that commuting, even if it's just easy cycling, easy walking, carrying the shopping, those sort of things that have previously, runners have been working on farms, doing manual jobs where they develop their strength, develop their basic conditioning from that lifestyle. Whereas, just keeping that routine of movement where it doesn't have to be formal exercise, but that gives your body the basic fitness to do basic things. And then if you're fit for life, again, I'm rambling a bit here, but it's that again, if you're stuck in COVID times when you're not moving as much, you don't have to meet people, you don't have to cycle, you don't have to go there. And as you said, you bring that routine just to go for a walk, go for a cycle. That just that simple movement, daily movement, is so important to general fitness.
I know you'd appreciate this. You said modern life, and I was like, I wanted to say modern life is rubbish. For those who don't know, that's the Blur album.
The Blur album from the middle class artists who claim they were working class, but they were very good. But yeah, good band, and one of Richard's favorite. Very good, very good. I think we've cut. Oh, one thing I wanted to say, is this is an interesting one, because I have been guilty of this before, where I haven't had time to do, or I know that I've had a day where I know it wasn't possible to get. I wanted to run 60 minutes in a day, and I knew I couldn't run 60 minutes in the morning, and I definitely couldn't run 60 minutes in the evening. So I had to do 30 minutes at, say, 7 a.m. and then 30 minutes at lunchtime. So what is the minimum time do you think you need between a double day? Oh. So that would be actually, by the time the end of the run, probably 4.5 hours.
Wow, that's a really good one. I remember when I was running very, very well, I trained 3 times on a Monday. I did... I remember I did a 45-minute run at 8 a.m. and I'd get to the lab at 9:30. And I did another 45-minute run at 1 p.m. And I'd immediately finish and have lunch. I'd finish at a sandwich shop with £5 and get a couple of sandwiches. And I'd go back to the lab. And then I'd go and do a gym session at like 7 p.m., 6:30, whatever it was, for an hour or so. It was fine, because I was doing so much volume across the rest of the week that, because it was two easy runs. I mean, because, the morning one was still easy, the lunchtime one was steady. None of them were that much of a strain. If it's like and coming off on a Sunday morning long run and then having the rest of the day, it was okay. There wasn't a lack of fuel. There was a huge amount of discipline, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do a gym session Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I didn't want to do it on Sunday because the long run completely wiped me out. So it was a logistical thing.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, I'm not doing an hour and a half on a Sunday, on a Monday morning. If it was, there were days when I would do a morning run and then at 8 o'clock and a session on Tuesday at lunchtime, 1 o'clock. It's risky. But if you're looking after your body and having food immediately after and stretching and a good routine and across the week, it's doable, but it's never something you think, I want to do a double day where I'm running lunchtime in the morning. No.
It's not your preferred choice, yeah. It's interesting, because I may be in this situation here because it's so bleeding dark. It's going to get dark the next 2 months, it's dark. So I have before running a run-in, just easy run, just wake up running. And I do have time to run at 9:30, so, which is a really short gap. But it might be my only chance sometimes where I'm just too exhausted to run after work. But we'll see.
What if you cycled it and then just did the one run at 9:30?
Well, the cycle is 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And the problem with the cycle is that it's black ice. I'm not really, the quality of the ride
Oh,
isn't,
no.
It's, there's no quality. It's just, it's not black ice, but it's a slow, kind of precarious ride sometimes. And yeah, I don't think I'd, suffer more than that, really. But yeah, okay. I think we've covered, that was quite a good deep dive into single versus double days. And hopefully it's given listeners some food for thought. Maybe just try a few different things. Give it a go. See if it makes a difference to your training and your racing. But ultimately, you want to see if it improves your racing.
Oh yeah. Practical advice: if you have a double day from single daying, don't increase the volume.
Yeah.
There's obviously an opportunity to do a lot more, but at least for a while, don't do more.
Yeah, so it's in 60 minutes, just do 2:30s.
Exactly, yeah.
40 minutes, 2:20, yeah. Until you adapt to it, yeah. Because I think yeah, I'm going to go back. I think the key things are that you, by implementing the double days, you should see an improvement in the quality of your running. You should feel fresher. Theoretically, it should reduce the risk of injury because you're not out there doing, longer runs all the time. So there should be those positive, impact. Okay. All right, Richard, thank you for your time. Thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for your, good conversation, good chat. I hope that you can continue your recovery from your cold, get some good training in, and we'll speak again in 2 weeks.
Thank you very
See
much.
You later. See you later.